The Bible says there in Colossians chapter 4, beginning from verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Father, we do ask and pray for the blessing upon your word to our hearts. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the last 9 years of my Christian life, as I've gone out to witness to different people and gone out on the street, in the prisons, family, friends, telling about the Lord Jesus Christ, there have been some common questions that always arise. And these questions seem to be the same time and time again, whether it's in prison, whether it's for my family, friends, and even from the street. And I began to think and wonder to myself, where did these questions arise from? How come there is a pattern with all these questions? And so I thought to myself, to be an encouragement, I've come up with a little track with these common questions for you to keep in your Bible or on hand, just in case you're out on the street and you've been confronted with these questions and you want a Bible verse to answer every man that asks you these questions. And so I've put these together. And so what we're going to do in the next few weeks, we're going to cover these questions, and we're going to park on one question tonight, and would simply be a blessing to you and an encouragement. So with it, yeah, go ahead. If you want, you can hand them out, but don't look at them and don't open them. Not yet, okay? Once we get into the message, so keep them closed. Don't be tempted to open them. As we get into the message and we confront one of the messages, questions in the message, then you can open them. But before, in the way of introduction, I want to hear from you. I want to hear by your experience, in the time that you've been trying to go out and witness, reach people, what is the common question that you have been confronted with from family, friends, different ones that you meet? Anyone? Yes, Megan? How do you know the Bible's true? It was written by men. So common, isn't it? Ah, the Bible's just written by men. How do you know it's true? Okay, anyone else? Yes, Brother Steve. Okay, that's a very common one. Why is there suffering in the world? Why, if God loved the world, then why is it that little kids suffer and people are suffering in this world? Okay, anyone else? Yes, Brother Nathan. Okay, that is a common question. If God is such a loving God, then why would he send people to hell? Anyone else? Okay, Megan. Okay, that's right. Where did God come from? Where did God come from? Who made God? Who created God? Okay. All right, anyone else? Yes. Okay. That's a common statement that's made. Absolutely. That's right. They belittle the local church, and they want to just simply worship God in their own way, and they don't need the word of God. They don't need the body which God initiated, him being the head. And it's just a common thing that they say, well, really, we can, you know, we really don't have to come to church to be a Christian. It's very common. We really don't have to come to church to be a Christian. And that's true. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to come to church to get to heaven. But if you're going to heaven, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, then you're part of the body of Christ, and you want to be going to the church to praise God and hear from his word. Okay. Any other common questions? Yes, Sarah. Okay, that is a common question. We perhaps will touch on that, on the sufferings. Why does God allow things to happen? Why does he allow to suffer? If he knew, that's very good, and that is common. If he knew that Adam and Eve was going to sin, then why did he go ahead and create them, knowing this? Okay, so, well, knowing that, he knew that he was going to go on the cross as well. And so we can look at that later on once we touch why does God allow people to suffer or allow evil into the world. Anyone else? Yes, Danny.
Just general, how do you know there is God? Like,
That's right. Yep, that's right. That's a very common one. And they want to say, how do you know God exists? I can't see him. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Lucy? Okay, why is Christianity the true Christian religion? And so why are all these other religions wrong? Okay, anyone else? Isn't Christianity all about making money? That's a very good excuse that they use, isn't it? We're going to touch on that tonight. That's going to be the main one which we're going to park on today. What about all the people that haven't heard the gospel? What about them? It's amazing somehow when you witness to people that come up with this question, all of a sudden they want to become missionaries. I tell them, you know, if you come to Christ, you're thinking about all these other people that haven't heard the gospel, you'll be a good missionary. You'll be a good soul winner, a witness for Christ. Okay, what else? What else do we have here? What happens to little children when they die? Every now and then you might get that one. How can Jesus be God? How can Jesus be God? And then, how can someone know for sure that they can go to heaven? No one knows, only God knows. How can you know for sure? More of a statement, but with it comes a question. How do you know for sure? That's a proud statement for you to know that you claim you're going to heaven. And so that's the one we'll be touching next week. But we're going to be looking, first of all, how do you know the Bible is true? It was written by men. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 in your Bibles. And if you do have a pamphlet or one of these tracts, you can open up to that. I believe it's stated there. 2 Peter chapter 1, and beginning from verse 21. How do you know the Bible is true? It was just written by men. And so the Bible says there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men, men that were set apart, spake as they were moved by God. God used them, God-fearing men, not just any men, God-fearing men, to pen down what God wanted them to pen down. They were like pens in God's hand. God will move in them and give them the knowledge, the gift of knowledge to them, to pen down what he wanted to say. Now, you say, we cannot continue to be able to win people to Christ or persuade them if they don't come to the persuasion of this very first question. I mean, how can you honestly try to reason with someone from the Scriptures, contend for the faith, when they don't even believe that this book is the Word of God? How do you do it? You know, you're using verses from the Bible that they doubt the Bible is true or from God. So how do you overcome that? You as a Christian, what do you do? Well, I'm going to just say, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God and the Gospel is powerful? Do you believe that what God says is true? And he mean what he says, that it's all powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it hits to the heart? You believe that God, through his word, is able to convict man? Doesn't matter about the response. What if some did not believe? The Bible says, does that make the faithfulness of God without effect? Surely not. Let God be true and every man made a liar. Look, the truth of the matter is, whether people believe the book or not to be the word of God, it doesn't change the word of God. So where is the power? The power lies in the Word of God, and you believing the Word of God is true no matter what man say. I believe that the Word of God is actually going to penetrate into their heart, whether they believe that this is inspired book or not. God is actually going to work through his Word like he promised it will, but you need to believe that. You need to believe that this is the Word of God. You need to believe that holy men were moved by God. Yes, there were 40 authors. And, you know, at the end of the day, these 40 authors that were moved by God to pen down his words, and we have the canon of the Scriptures, you know, they harmonize. There's no contradictory. When you study the Scriptures, you see some harmony there. Four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, complement one another. There were eyewitnesses. And we can see also history proves that. but also conscience. Jesus and his word, the Bible, these things are light. And somehow people are just afraid from the truth and afraid from the light. But at the end of the day, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. So all scripture, Old New Testament, is inspired by God, God breathed, and we need to believe that to be true. Now Deuteronomy says in chapter 18, verse 21, this is how we know the Bible's true, and that the prophecy that came in old time by the will of man, but holy man of God spake. We know that these prophets that had come and foretold what God had simply passed on to them, it says here, if thou say in thy heart, in verse 21 of Deuteronomy 18, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How do we know that the word is not true, it is true for that matter? Verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. And so this book, it's a living book. And it lives today, and it's prophecy coming alive. You know, I don't know if when you read this book, I don't know if it happens in your life, but it happens in mine. I find at times prophecy fulfilled. Jesus would say some things about persecution, or men will hate you because of me. And I found out in my Christian walk that it was actually happening. You know, back then I was holding on to some things were wicked. I'm ashamed of. I never copped that much slack from my parents or from anyone for that fact when I started putting my nose in the Word of God and starting letting people know about Jesus. This is a living book. This is the only book that will actually read you, by the way. You can read any books in the library. But this book is the only book that will read you, that will convict you. And it's real, it's living. And so we know that the Word of God is true because of its power and because of the fulfilled prophecies that have taken place and are taking place. Okay? Now, I basically would like at times to counter their question and would say to them, as many a times Jesus would answer a question with a question, many a times he won't answer them depending on the person, whether they just want to be smart. But I would say, how do I know your way is true? How do I know your philosophy is right? I'm not here promoting myself. I'm not here actually telling you what I think. I'm actually telling you what the Bible says, and I'm telling you what God's word says. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And so we're not here telling you what we think, but we're telling you what God thinks and what God says is to be true. And so that's sometimes I like to encounter their question with that. How do I know what you're saying is true? How do I know what you're doing is true? Everyone has their different philosophies. Which one's right? No, not everyone can be right. So which one's right? Okay, question number two. The Bible has been changed so many times. Why should I trust the Bible? And this is very easy. Right from the very beginning, Satan wanted to cast doubt on God's word. Go to Genesis chapter 3 in your Bibles. Right from the very, very, very beginning, Satan wanted to attack the word of God. Now, I'd like to say, and I try to say this nicely, for the different ones that want to bring their books and say, it is inspired, it is the word of God. There hasn't been so much attack to the other books as much there is to the word of God. And you think about that sometimes. Why would someone want to republish a book and change things here and there when it's corrupted anyway? Why would the devil want to attempt to do that? Why would someone want to attempt to change someone else's book? Why would they pick on the Bible and try to always manipulate the Bible and cast doubt on God's word and cast doubt on the resurrection and cast doubt on Jesus Christ and cast doubt whether he was the true one that died on the cross, and they want to say that Judas did. Why is it always manipulated? Why do they always want to say, no, 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 that wasn't true, but this was true? And they want to bring more gospels in, like the gospel of Judas or whatever. Why do they attack the Bible? Well, because that was the trick of the devil all the way from the beginning. Notice what the Bible says there. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat from every tree of the garden? Trying to cast doubt on God's word. And that's what he's trying to do today. He's trying to get everybody, even Christians today, to cast doubt on his word, especially through the modern versions, let me just say. Especially when they have the footnotes down the bottom. They're trying to do so much justice, it's injustice when they have footnotes. You say, why? It's casting doubt on God's word. Is it there or isn't it there? So anytime you get a Bible and then a verse is missing but it's down there on the footnote, that's Satan trying to get you to cast doubt on his word. Sometimes the footnotes and the relevant to the context makes a big difference. So the devil's up to his tricks again. He wants to destroy the word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 12 verse 6, the word of God, the word of the Lord is pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Among these versions, we believe that the KJV version of the Bible is the authorized version, and we believe it to be the Word of God in the English language. The Bible has not changed. It hasn't. It's people that changed the Word of God. We still have it. God is able to protect His Word, and we have it here in our hands. And so it's not the word of God changing, it's evil men trying to change it. God, Satan using them to corrupt it so you can cast out and people can cast out and say, well, forget about it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. The reason there are so many people interested in verifying or trying to destroy the Bible and the truth of God's word is because there are people that stoop down so low that they want to try to make a dollar out of the word of God. That's the truth. They want to make a buck. So they try to reproduce it. Did you know that there's an Aussie Bible? It's a mockery. Instead of the Last Supper, it's the Last Tucker. Blasphemy. They want to use slang. So what? Instead of woman, they have Sheila. They want to treat God's work like a comic. They want to dumb down the richness of his word. Oh, it's too hard. Well, go study. Go study the word of God like God says for us to study. If you really want to know the truth, diligently open the word of God and study it. It's a wonderful book. It's the best textbook for everyday living. It's God's heavenly wisdom for an earthly walk. It tells us how we came into the world, how we were created. It shows us where we're going to go when we die. It's our soul directory. Everybody looks to a street directory these days, they've got tom-toms. You know, they, from one place to another, they want to go and find a certain street, certain place. Let me say something. This is the Word of God. This is our soul directory. This tells us about eternal things, spiritual things, most important things. Why? Because the spiritual things is what will go on to continue forever. The Word of God is pure and it confounds the wise. I love how the Word of God can just confound the intellectual. Those that go to university, it's amazing when those people do some study. They study, 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 get good marks. They go to university, they study some more stuff, some more, and they encourage one another. And all of a sudden now, they're smarter than God. They want to start telling God how he created the world. Appalling. And, you know, be careful from going to these people that think that they're smarter than God, that they want to tell God how it is. Be careful from these people. Be careful from the people who say that the Word of God is not relevant for everyday life. That was for back then. Be careful from these people. Satan wants to cast doubt on God's Word. Now, this is what I try. And I say to them, another question to counter their question. I said, please think. Think with me. Why do people try so hard writing books, coming up with DVDs? The majority. To attack Christianity, the Bible, and Jesus Christ. Why are people on a mission to do that, where all Jesus is teaching is love, forgiveness, and all wonderful things, heaven? Why? This is what I tell them. Why is it attacked? People want to try to attack Christianity, and I just say, why is it so? Why is it so? Well, leads us to our next point. Isn't not Christianity all about making money? We're going to park here for tonight, and we're going to expose some men that do basically use the truth to hinder the truth. Can I just say that? Go to 2 Peter chapter 2 in your Bibles. You know, I thank God that the Bible itself warns us about such people that try to profit from the truth. I love that, because I've asked that question too. I don't know about you, but you've probably asked that question in your heart. It seems to be, especially in the 21st century, that it seems that all some churches, and what they do today is it's all about money and prosperity and give. I've heard testimonies from people say that they've been in churches and they've passed the money bag around, and all of a sudden the prophet behind the pulpit has received a revelation from God. And God said him, pass the bag around again. Pass it again. I got a revelation from God. And you know, wonder, you know, people ask this question, isn't Christianity about making money? Let me just say to you, I don't blame them, because of some evil men trying to make a dollar from the truth. But I thank God that God's already spoken about these evil men, that they're going to come and they're going to profit. Notice now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring up upon themselves swift destruction. Notice this in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, notice this, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make what? Merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It's coming. They'll have their time. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, he delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. He's not going to spare them. Surely if they don't repent, what a terrible thing, try to make a dollar from God's word. Wow. Isn't this what Judas tried to do? Judas Iscariot. He had the money bag. He was looking after the treasury, but he didn't care about the poor. All he cared about was his pocket. And I'm afraid that there are some people in today's false prophets, false brethren that have come, and they're trying to use the word of God, they're trying to use the church to make a living, not only that, to get rich. And they're giving Christianity a bad name. The truth is being evil spoken of because of these false teachers and false prophets that only care about their belly. You say, their belly? Well, look what Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 says. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, the Bible goes on to say that perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. The Bible actually warns us from such people that try to use the word of God to make gain, try to make a living, try to build up their estate and live off the word of God, and the truth is evil spoken of. It's a shame that that happens. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to show you a few more verses regarding this. 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. And beginning from verse 20, notice what the Bible says. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, the context of this is men coming in, men with heresy, men that will pervert the truth. I want to stop here for a moment, not only saying that men will use the word of God, sometimes in an honest way, sometimes in a false way. Not only to make a dollar, but to corrupt the church and to corrupt individuals that are in that church so they can follow their pernicious ways and so they can lead them astray. So what do we do? Well, let's back it up and look at verse 16. Notice what the Bible says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness. The Bible says shun, that means to keep away from, to avoid. Profane, open and accessible to all. It's like crossing through a doorway, easy to get in. Profane, that which profane is unholy. Profane and vain babblings. Empty sounds, that is fruitless discussions. Discussions that are vain, useless matters. They only bring about more ungodliness. And the Bible says, just to cut it, shun. Keep away from these false prophets. Keep away these false men. It stirs my heart, honestly, to be able to hear some people go on the Christian channel, go on the YouTube and listen to some prominent preachers that they think get prominent because they have 30, 40,000 in their congregation. And when you study these men and you listen to their preaching, they're but only empty. And principles that only bring up about self-esteem. And men that try to tickle their ears from the pulpits. They don't have messages that convict. They don't have messages that are somewhat meaty. The word sin and repentance are no longer found in their speech. But rather they want to use swelling words. Swelling words. Words that they would like to hear. Comforting words. And so what does the Bible say to say keep away? Notice verse 17. They had a problem with a couple of men. And by the way, it's not wrong. It's not a sin to name evil prophets. It's not a sin to mark men. Paul did it. And he does it right in front of us to Timothy. Amen? So it's don't be afraid of marking men that are causing division in the church. Bring about false doctrine, or you can lose your salvation, or there's only a limited atonement. People are limited to go into heaven. God limit his salvation to only a few. Don't be afraid to mark these different ones that are pushing their doctrine. Notice verse 17, and their words will eat as doth a canker. What does that mean? These two men mentioned here, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, these are false prophets with their false philosophy, bring about a canker. You know what that means? It's like gangrene. Gangrene that Christians allowed in their soul, this New Age thinking, Reformed thinking, and it creeps up and it brings about a gangrene. Say, gangrene is like a death tissue in part of the body. It kills the tissue. So no longer it can function right. It's a surface and suffice discoloration, there's a color that starts changing. And you'll notice when Christians take heed to these false doctrine, there's a color that changes in their character. There's a different talk and a different speech that comes out of their mouth. It's no longer sound doctrine. It's starting to change. And it no longer harmonizes with the scriptures. As a matter of fact, their doctrine or their New Age teaching causes you to doubt the Word of God, causes you to doubt the apostles' doctrine. And prominent and great verses like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," and different things like that. So what do? Well, the Bible says if he purge himself from these, to cleanse it out. Paul says to Timothy, purge, cut off the gangrene. There's only two ways to treat gangrene. You either medicate it or you cut it off, amputate. Medication or amputation? Medication. Paul watches out for the sheep by marking these men. And you say, does doctrine matter? Absolutely. He is the foundation which the saint build upon. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. It's the foundation in which we build upon. And I want to continue to speak about this canker, this gangrene. It is a mortification in the flesh where the circulation is completely stopped and the decay takes place, which continues to corrupt the surroundings of the flesh, spreading more and more till death takes place, unless stopped by timely and careful use of medication or cutting off. Such is the influence of false doctrine. It presses its mortal seed in the soul, which continues to corrupt and observe everything to itself, if not prevented by timely application by the Word of God and under the hand of a great physician. It will conclude with bitter pain and possibly an eternal death. Paul the Apostle identifies the corruption which these men had, and he says that their word, what they're sharing, doth like a canker. So what do? Cut it off! I beg you, church. Anyone comes in the church and starts bringing up new things and pushing their CDs about some things that are just not on and not right and you haven't been taught from the scriptures, cut it off. Don't give ear to it. Don't even give it a go. We don't need anything new that comes creeping up. New prophets that come and say, okay, we have this book now, we have this teaching now. The Bible is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. We don't need to correct the Bible. We don't need to advance on the Bible. The Word of God is true. It's perfect. We don't need to come and interpretate it, because we want to be the great scholars of the day and we want to have a name. So people are always after these new things and they follow their pernicious ways because they want to have a name. They want a following. Stick to the Word of God. You can't go wrong. Stick to the Word of God. You say, well, there are not many people are following this way. I'm not going to go with the majority, nor I'm going to plunge to my death, nor I'm going to let gangrene creep in the life of my family and corrupt our family, nor the church, nor your soul. So can it happen? Again, Paul the Apostle would not encourage Timothy to purge these out if it couldn't happen. Absolutely, it could happen. And it can happen to the best of us. It can happen to any one of us here tonight. So what do we have to do? Be vigilant. Be a people that are in the scriptures. Withdraw thyself, the Bible says, from such. Stand far off. Withdraw thyself. Look, listen, if you can't help anyone with the truth and they're trying to persuade you, cut them off. I'm not saying to you that don't try to be a blessing with these people that are trying to push their way. Try to help these people. But if they're really trying to push their way to you and they're really trying to bring you to their persuasion of a new thing, a new idea, a new way, cut it off. And if you can't help these people, cut it off. Avoid. And Paul the Apostle even said to Timothy that, you know, a heretic deserves two chances. Give him two chances. If he doesn't want to heed for the word of God, cut him off. Just don't go next to it. I'll tell you why, because that poison is going to creep into your mind and it will discourage you. You know, Calvinism today has discouraged people from going out and witnessing? Absolutely. They're so discouraged because Calvinism and hyper-Calvinism, what it is, it belittles the character of God and his love for all humanity. That's a damnable heresy. And that distaste, there's a distaste to it and there's a corruption. When God says he loved the world, God means he loves the world. I don't have to become a scholar to tell you what that is. God loves the world. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Matthew 16, verse 6. You say, why are you such passionate about this? Because it's happening very rapidly. It's coming. It's coming here. It's swept America and it's coming here. It's coming. We'll probably be here a few times, in and out. What are we going to do? Cut it off? Cut it off. Don't entertain it. Try to help them. I'm not saying don't help people, but if they're set in their ways and they want to be helped. Matthew 16:6, notice what Jesus says unto them, to his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware. Beware. You say, why? Well, a little leaven. Okay. What can it do? A whole lump? Absolutely. Their mouths must be stopped. That's what he said to Timothy. How do we close their mouth? Preaching of God's word? Preaching the truth of God's word. You know, they say that, I mentioned this to you Wednesday night, that rat poison is made by 99% of good food and 1% poison. And because rats are scavengers, what they do is they taste test the food before they completely eat the whole thing. They wait, they eat, and if they don't get sick, they continue to eat the whole poison, which is made up of 99% food. You say, why do they make rat poison with 99% good food? So it covers the 1% of poison and it doesn't detect it. It needs the whole 1% to be able to work effectively. And you know what happens? It happens and the rat doesn't die instantly. It dies over time. But as long as that is in its system, it's going to die. And so what these false prophets do nowadays is they bring about the scriptures and they bring about truth with error. And it might be 99% truth, but 1% error, you're finished. Yeah, they'll talk about God's grace, that you're saved by grace through faith. But they'll also mention good works. You still have to do a little good works here and there to keep your salvation. Just different things like that. So most of it is true, but there's some error in it that can poison you and you can die. False prophets. So what do? You cut them off. Don't give ear to them. False prophets like Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, many, many other charismatic preachers, many other people in the charismatic movement would simply take heed to the philosophy of using the Word of God to make money. Probably not all, I don't know, everyone. But specifically these men, I can really see through the Bible that these men, all they're really doing is not doing justice to the Word of God. Joel Osteen says, and I quote, that being gay is not God's best. Or having same-sex marriage is not God's best. It's good, but it's not God's best. See, what he tries to say to people when they interview him and he answers these questions, he tries to avoid conflict. So by saying it's not God's best, he's saying this: it's okay, but it's not God's first choice. It's wicked. Well, if you said that, probably half his congregation, maybe most, would just bye-bye, see you later. And I'm afraid if you stand in our day in the 21st century and you preach against error and you mark men, you're the bad one. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? Well, notice what he continues to say into the Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. He says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. He says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Now, that's powerful. That's powerful. He says, "You did run well, but he who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And this persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you." What does he say there in verse 9? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Are you going to accept little error? And you say, okay, man, you're in for a fall. Who did hinder you? And then he says to the Romans in chapter 16, verse 17, please notice this. Romans chapter 16, verse 17, the Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but what? Their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." If it happened in the day of Paul, how much more today? How much more today? They deceive the heart of the simple. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The ones that are deceived are very simple. Their gate is just wide open. When they hear something, they're not a Berean. They don't check it by the scriptures. They just take it to be true. Doesn't matter if they're a prominent preacher. They could be someone like a teacher in a university. Oh, because they got education, they've got about 5 certificates behind their back there. That's it. Their word counts. Oh, Dr. Feelgood, he's great. He says he's got all the right answers because he's helped a lot of people. And so we go on and we listen to his wonderful, wonderful counsel. Terrible. Anyone that doesn't have this as their final authority, the word of God, I'm just begging you here tonight, get rid of them. No one's smarter than God. And these people that want to lift themselves to be smarter than God, forget it. I preach not as... Look, let me just say this to you. I've used verse after verse after verse after verse. Even the little kids. If I don't have enough scripture, come up to me and say, "Pastor, you didn't have enough scripture in your message today." Please come and tell me. Please, I beg you. I'm serious. Why? Because we want to hear from the Word of God. Absolutely. We want to hear from the Scriptures. We want to hear what God says. So if you hear some messages time and time again, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, refer here, go here, quote this, write this down, and you hear the handouts, and on the side column there, there's all verses, please forgive me. I cannot but pack the Scriptures with the point that I'm trying to make. Because my point is powerless if it's not from the Scriptures. It needs to be from the Word of God. That's the authority in which we stand upon. That's truth. That's our measuring rod for faith and practice and everything that we do in our Christian world. Oh, wait! God's given me some new revelation. Cut it off. Get rid of them. Please. The only revelation that they're getting is from the devil. So how do you figure? Go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We looked at this verse this morning, but we'll look at it again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning from verse 24. It's in the same passage of what we read, of avoiding these men, purging ourselves from false teachers and false philosophy and perhaps sin, and to flee also youthful lusts, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace. And he says, to foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strife. That's in verse 23. Notice verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing what? Those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Notice that. To the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who have taken them captive by what? By him at his will. And he uses false teachers, philosophers, and false prophets to do it. Absolutely. They're snared and they're trapped from knowing the truth because a little leaven has come in and corrupted them. A little canker, a little gangrene has come and it's affecting their body. God will give them repentance if they acknowledge the truth, if they love the book and they're willing to study the book and spend time in the book. God is able to deliver them from the snares of Satan and his traps and from false teachers. Absolutely. God is able to do it. Amen. God can do it. They need to be acknowledging the truth. They need to be loving the truth. They need to seek God for the truth. Say, God, I want to know what you'd say about this. I want the truth. I want the truth to be from you. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Cut off the gangrene. Cut off the circulation there that doesn't spread. Cut it off. Get rid of it. Avoid it. Shun. Keep away from it. Don't entertain it. Have this, the Word of God, the true Word of God, to be your guidance, to be your light, to be your lamp. Go to the Bible. I guarantee you, it'll bring about safety in your lives, the life of your family, and the life of the church, and in your own life as an individual. You have doubts. You've been shaken by false prophets and cults and religion. Go to the Word of God. Comfort yourself in the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. May God help us. May God help us to be people of the Word and to stand on the Word and not to compromise and not to entertain these preachers that want to make a dollar from the Word of God. Isn't Christianity all about making money? Listen, my friend. Evil people want to make money from the Word of God. True Christians don't. And are you going to let these evil men that are using the Word of God to make money hinder your relationship with God? Please don't do that. That's why I ask the question to them. I counter question after I share these verses with them. My counter question to them is, are you going to let these evil men that have caused you to ask this question? Christianity is all about making money. All they want is my money. They're evil men. Are you going to let them get in the way between a relationship between you and God? Okay, let's just take time to think about what's been mentioned tonight. And thank you for your patience on that question. I wanted to stop there on that question. Next week we'll finish the 7 questions. We'll go through those questions if God will grant us to go through them in time, God willing. And we'll cover all those questions. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask God to bless the rest of the night together. Father, we're so thankful, Father, for the Word of God. We're so thankful, Father, that it's true, it's light. Thank you so much that you warn us against false prophets and teachers and different ones that want to deceive people, they want a following, they want to use the Word of God to make merchandise off the people. Oh, dear God, I just pray that those that are caught in the snares and the traps of the devil, for whatever reason, I pray that you'd help them be people of truth and acknowledging the truth, acknowledging, Father, that they've gone wrong somewhere along the line. They've taken heed, entertained false prophets, false teachings. They've entertained new things. They've allowed new things to come into life. Please, Lord God, help them to shun, avoid, withdraw, cut off, that the canker or the gangrene doesn't kill their soul, kill their walk with God, kill their relationship, Father, with you. Please let them have mercy on them. Let them be people that will acknowledge the truth and be liberated from error. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful. We pray that you direct every thought, every step during this week and whatever we do, decisions that we make through your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.